practically speaking, what do I do now? The first question, what is fasting? Jesus assumes that his followers, that those who love him and want to live like him, fast. He says, when you fast. As we'll see today, there are a number of other examples in the Bible and in the New Testament which would speak to this issue of fasting, that God's people is an act of worship, fast. And what's interesting is when Jesus speaks about fasting, assuming this practice just like he does with giving of money or prayer, he doesn't define what he means by fasting. Instead, he assumes, doesn't he, that his audience has a proper conception of fasting, one that's informed by the scriptures in the Old Testament. And yet today, I believe that that assumption would be rather amiss. Many of us, if we were to answer, what would you think of when someone says the word fast? You might say, well, someone that's especially quick or speedy, right? Light on their feet. We don't usually think of this religious practice of fasting. And there are a couple of quotes. There are always quotes in the front of the bulletin for reflection. There's one that by a famous pastor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, I think captures it especially well. He says this: the whole question of fasting has almost disappeared from our lives, even out of the field of our consideration. How often and to what extent have we thought about it? What place does it occupy in our whole view of the Christian life and of the discipline of the Christian life? He says, I suggest that the truth probably is that we have very rarely thought of it at all. I wonder if we have ever fasted. I wonder whether it has even occurred to us that we ought to be considering the question of fasting. The fact is it not, that the whole subject seems to have dropped right out of our lives, right out of our whole Christian thinking. I think that that is exactly the truth. So we might begin by having recognized our need for understanding fasting by asking, what is fasting? And this week I've been especially looking at the whole of the scriptures with respect to this question, and I have a definition for you. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where we temporarily abstain from food and or drink in order to enter God's presence and evoke his power. One more time. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where we temporarily abstain from food and or drink in order to enter God's presence and evoke his power. First, then, fasting is a spiritual discipline. And there might be all sorts of reasons why you would skip lunch. You're on the go, you're in a hurry, you're not hungry. And there are reasons why a number of people in this world don't have food to eat like they would like. But that is not fasting. That we might call starvation or going without food. But fasting is a spiritual discipline. We're, of course, not denying that fasting, most obviously, has a very physical component to it. But what I'm here saying is that fasting is much more than simply the physical. It has a spiritual dimension to it. Fasting's not starvation, nor is fasting a diet. Fasting is going without food, but it has a particular spiritual intention or purpose behind it. And that intention is not to lose weight. It's not to detoxify your body of all of the foods or different chemicals that might be on foods or any of these sorts of things. Instead, fasting is a discipline, one that is intended as a form of worship led along and governed by the Holy Spirit. If we say that fasting has this sort of spiritual component or spiritual aim, then of course the question becomes, well, what precisely do we mean by that? What is the spiritual goal to this discipline of fasting? And I think in the scriptures what we see is that the purpose is twofold. The first reason that people, and the first reason that you ought to fast, first spiritual reason, is to enter into God's presence. If you have a Bible, if you want, if you're able to, you can turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. This is one of the several passages where we hear about a mandated fast in Israel's worship in the Old Testament. It's on the Day of Atonement that one day of the whole year where all of Israel would gather together corporately in Jerusalem and where there'd be this large and elaborate symbolic process where the priest would there go before God in the Holy of Holies and cleanse or redeem God's people from their sin, that one day where atonement was made. And on that day, the whole nation of Israel was to abstain from both food and drink. They were to fast in worship of God. We hear in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, more about that. It shall be a statute to you forever in the month, the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. You shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. That language, afflict yourselves, in my Bible there's a little one there, and if you look down to the footnote, number one, you see, or shall fast. In fact, there are several places in the Old Testament where this language of affliction and fasting go side by side. They are really the same. And so you'll note even there's a little I, another note in my Bible before afflict. And if you look in verse 29 in the center column, it refers you to Psalm 35, 13. The Hebrew word for fasting literally means to humble your soul, to afflict, to subdue yourself in humility and bowing down to God. This is the conception that in Israel's worship, when the people of God in this very special and unique time wanted now in a unique way to enter God's presence, what they did was to humble their souls, in other words, to abstain from food and drink, to fast before God. Now, it's not only in the Old Testament we see this also, for instance, in our call to worship. Luke chapter 2, we heard about a saint fasting in worship of God. And even more than that, in the book of Acts, we see that the early church, a part of their worship, was fasting. So Acts chapter 13, this is the church in Antioch, and they're worshiping God and thinking in particular about how their church might be used by God in the extension of his kingdom to proclaim his name in places where it's not now known. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now, the Holy Spirit speaks to them about how he wants them to set apart two men for gospel ministry and to send those men out to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. The point, of course, though, to notice is here in the New Testament, as the early church desires to come into God's presence, they do so with prayer, to be sure, but also with fasting. Fasting, then, is a way that we spiritually draw near to God. Through fasting, one of the aims of fasting is that through it we would enter into God's presence. But you remember in that definition I said that there were two aims, right? Fasting is that spiritual discipline whereby we abstain from food and or water in order to enter into God's presence, but also to evoke his power. Now that word evoke, sometimes we use the word evoke to say that we are reminded of a certain sensation, like the smell of the pie evoked warm feelings of home in my heart, you know, sort of thing. That's not what I mean. What I mean by evoke is to summon or to call forth, to bring to pass. And in this discipline of fasting, what we see in Scripture is people, through their fasting in prayer, evoke the display of God's power. So numerous times in the Bible when people are in need of God bearing his holy arm and working, what we see is they call upon God with fasting. A few examples, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, as the people of God leave their Babylonian captivity, what do? They humble themselves with fasting, asking God to bless their journey. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, as Esther is about to go before the king and is fearful for her life, she asks all of her people to fast for her, that God would grant success to her mission. Similarly, in Matthew, just a page before where we are, as Jesus enters his ministry, chapter 4, what is the first thing he does? He sets apart a time of prayer and spiritual preparation for his ministry in fasting. And Jesus here resembles couple of saints in the Old Testament that went on long and what we might say supernatural fast. Moses and in Deuteronomy, we see, went on two fasts, back-to-back fasts of 40 days, referencing the 40 years Israel was in the wilderness. And Elijah also in 1 Kings goes on a 40-day fast. And this is what Jesus does in preparation for his ministry. And then also we see again in the New Testament, the early church, when they want to ask God's blessing, when they want to ask that God would be at work, what they do is they fast. Acts chapter 14, this is a great little passage. Those missionaries that the church in Antioch sent out, Barnabas and Saul, then Paul, go out preaching the gospel, and they go from town to town, and they begin to explain to people the Bible and the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happens is, more and more people begin to believe that these things are true. But it's not enough simply that there's a scattered group of individuals that believe, but Paul and Barnabas stay in that place until there's a little church, much like this one that's formed, where people say, we want to know Jesus and worship him and serve him. And then, Paul and Barnabas, their work is only done when that church is organized in such a way that it has a permanent and abiding government, a plurality of elders that can, with authority by God, structure and bless those people. And so in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we hear about that they're going from town to town, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them. Verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church. And how did they appoint the elders? With prayer and with fasting. Then they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. That's basically what we did here last week, right? This church was committed to the Lord, now as a permanent or an organized church, one that has its own governing body, a structure by which God will bless and be at work in this church. And we certainly prayed, and maybe you fasted. I didn't. But we should have. And I was even thinking about fasting. This is something that though we as a people too often have lost sight of, it has escaped our purview. This is an important spiritual discipline, either to enter into God's presence, to seek him, to come near to him, or to ask him that he would be at work in an unusual and powerful way, to call upon him, that he would move and be active in our world. All right, so we've answered what is fasting. I hope that now, if even maybe for the first time, or perhaps this is a reminder for some of you, you can now say, I understand at least in part, this biblical conception of fasting. The second question, though, is how then should I fast? And Jesus is actually speaking more to that question here in these verses. I think that we learn two things from Jesus' words. The first is this, that we should fast for God and not for others. Fasting is an ancient practice. And it's one that, as we see in Jesus' day, is open to corruption. We hear about that in the Old Testament. A number of times when God's people would gather together to fast, the reality was that this was not so much something they were doing for God, but something that they were doing in order to have the appearance of a religiosity, a showmanship. This is what God says in Isaiah chapter 58. He says to his prophet Isaiah, cry aloud, don't hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Why is it that God wants Isaiah to speak this way? Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Judah their sins. And what is their sin? Well, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to me. Why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? And now God answers, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. You oppress your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight, to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose?
He goes on, will you call this fast acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I would choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless and poor into your home, when you see the naked to cover him, to not hide yourself from your own flesh, as your family. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. Shall you be healed, and shall you spring forth speedily? Shall your righteousness go before you? Then the glory of Yahweh will be your rear guard. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. God takes fasting seriously. And therefore, his people must be serious about fasting when they would engage in the spiritual discipline. All through the Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 7, in Isaiah 58 here, in Zechariah chapter 8, we see that when fasting is done with impure motivation, when its practice is obscured by the evil that the persons fasting are presently doing, that God pays it no regard. And if fasting as a practice is open to corruption, like all religious observances, then, and while this is a long-standing thing, then we should say that the people in Jesus' day had mastered such a masquerade. We hear in Luke 18 about a Pharisee, and he's praying and he says, oh God, I fast twice a week. And here are the Pharisees, the ones that Jesus, we see in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, is pitting his teaching against, are those who have made a showy display of their fasting. This sounds somewhat silly to us, but they actually had special fasting clothes. And as they fasted, they would put ashes and dust and dirt on their heads so that it was apparent to anyone that would walk by them that this person now is in this special religious observance. And Jesus has something to say about that. He says, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. The point, of course, is when you're going to fast, and Jesus assumes that you will, that normally if you wear perfume, then you should wear perfume. If you put gel in your hair, then go ahead and do that. Don't advertise and show to everyone what you're doing. As he said, with your giving of money, let even not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Simply fast that you might be seen by God and not by others. With sincerity that you will not be like the hypocrites. That's point one. Second answer, how should I fast? I think Jesus tells us something else. I think he tells us here in the final verse that we ought to fast with joyous expectation that God will meet with us and that he will work. Notice what he says. Jesus' answer to this religious showmanship is not to give up the practice of fasting, but to do it rightly. And then he says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Isn't that interesting? Jesus motivates us in this practice by saying that your God will see you, he will meet you, and he will be at work to bless, to reward, to do good. Now, I don't even need to tell you that that doesn't mean that your bank account is going to swell or something of that sort, but that God is active to meet with his people as they engage with him, as they draw near to him, that he will draw near to them, and that he will bless them and work in their lives in a powerful way, even more than you might now dare to expect or imagine. As this week I'm looking at fasting in the Bible, I'm reading different things on it. One of the things I noticed, and this is, I take it just a coincidence of sorts, is that in all of the different theological dictionaries, fasting, now obviously because of the letter order in the word, is listed right next to feasting. But I thought, isn't that interesting? Fasting is a discipline. It's difficult. It's not normally what you would think of as good times. And yet what Jesus says here is that there is great blessing, even enjoyment, delight in fasting. There is reward in it for God's people. And therefore, you should fast.
All right, so we know what fasting is. We know about the manner of our fasting as Jesus describes it. But the third question, practically then, what should I do? This is a very new concept for some of us, in particular myself and my own journey, so to speak. I remember when I was a young Christian, I fasted regularly and with real zeal for that, and it was a blessing to me. And then somehow, I'm not even really sure how, I just got out of the routine and the discipline of fasting. And in studying this passage, it's again brought to light to me that this is something I want to be a regular part of the pattern of my life. And I hope that you're saying the same thing, but then the question becomes, well, what do I do? And here's what I would say. The first thing is that you need to plan for a fast. Here's what I would recommend. A good way to start out is to take a day, and you can go to work on this day. It's not that you need to change everything about your day necessarily, but to say, on this day, this Thursday or Wednesday or Friday or whatever it may be, I am going to fast, which means that I'm only throughout the duration of the day, from when I wake up until the next day when I wake up, I'm only going to, and you could do this different ways, I'm only going to drink water. That's how I would recommend you doing it. That means that you're going to abstain from eating any food for the whole day. Now, some people might want to say, I'll also drink fruit juice, or you might even say, I'll have a cup of coffee in the morning so that my whole day's not tanked. There are no regulations in the Bible about you must do it this way or that way. What you're doing is you're abstaining from something that your body needs and is a physical requirement. And you're training your body, you're disciplining it so that when you are hungry, you take that time that you would have normally spent preparing for meals or eating to spend in prayer and reading of Scripture. And you learn what Jesus learned during his fast in the desert, that man does not live on bread alone. Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you take this time planned beforehand, and you take this purpose for your fast, which you've thought about. You ought to fast for this church. You ought to fast against the sins that you're so prone to commit. You ought to fast for those that you love. And you say, this day in particular, I'm going to set aside for reading God's word about this topic in particular, or about asking him to work in my life in this area specifically. And so you plan ahead. And then you act. You participate in this spiritual discipline. And be sure that it will not be easy. It's not the hardest thing in the world either, but you will get hungry. And you might even want to start, there's nothing wrong with just saying, on this Thursday or once a month or once every other week or once every few months, however you in your heart would like to serve Christ and draw near to him in this way. You might say, I'm going to fast until dinner time. It doesn't mean you need to tell anyone about this necessarily, but just to set aside time to draw near to God. In reality, there's not anything real complex about fasting. If you have more questions, perhaps over a cup of coffee or some other time, we can take this subject up at greater length. We could talk about some of the practical aspects of that if you're wondering about how to implement it. But the truth is that this is a subject which we cannot learn simply theologically or theoretically. It must be practiced. And we learn the value and the delight of fasting as we engage our Lord through this spiritual discipline. My hope in this sermon is that this would remind or inform some of you and encourage you to seek your Lord in this way. And if that is the result, that perhaps for the next 30 years, a part of your regular practice as a Christian is to seek the Lord through fasting, however frequent that might be, then this time in these words will have been a great success. Why? Well, because God will meet with you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. Please stand with me and let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we want you to be at work in our lives. We want you to be glorified. We want to draw near to you. We love you, our Lord. We pray that as we seek to take all of our life and to use it in accord with your will, that you would accomplish these ends, even that you would do so through this joyous activity of fasting. We pray it together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.